Greetings, brethren. Shabbat shalom. Thank you very much, children. Great job with the song there. Usually it's the Hezekiah Quartet, the four of them. Of course, as you heard, one is missing this morning, Judah. He threw up probably about three or four times. So something, I don't know, some kind of bug or something along those lines. Maybe an upset stomach. So he's just resting with Charlene and Carol at the Wilcox home. So they should probably be over here a little bit later on. But good job, the Hezekiah trio holding it down. I know it was a little difficult for Zalone there. He has the hiccups right now, so he couldn't really do too well. But you held it down. You did a good job, my boy. Proud of you. So yes, the title of the message is Giving Thanks, which of course goes hand in hand with the lovely song, being thankful, performed by the kids. Before I kind of get into the message, I want to read a bit of an excerpt here from an online article. I believe this was written by televangelist, the late televangelist Billy Graham, once again on the subject of thankfulness and giving thanks. The title of it that I have here is Thank God in the Midst of Trials and Even Persecution. Thank God in the Midst of Trials and Even Persecution. And it's not very long. I'm going to read it in a second. While I'm reading it, maybe you can take some time to kind of think about what you are personally thankful for. I know that we had our Canadian Thanksgiving. I believe it was on the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles that we observed about 6 weeks ago. Of course, this coming week, the Americans will be celebrating their Thanksgiving, I believe, on Thursday. So after I read this episode, I want to kind of open it up a little bit, open the floor a little bit, and I will be asking some of you to kindly share at least one thing that you're thankful for, whatever it may be, whatever is on your heart, whatever your heart desires. It will be asking, so if you want to take some time to perhaps consider that, if most of you can kind of share one thing that you're thankful for, that would be great. Thank God in the midst of trials and even persecution. Billy Graham. We draw back from difficulties, yet not one of us is exempt from some kind of trouble. In many parts of the world, it is dangerous even to be a Christian because of persecution. And in the midst of those trials, we can thank God because we know that He has promised to be with us and that He will help us. We know that He can use times of suffering to draw us closer to Himself. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Of course, the book of James, James 1, 2-3. When the prophet Daniel learned that evil men were plotting against him to destroy him, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before, referenced in Daniel 6, verse 10. The Bible commands, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. Paul declared, you will even be able to thank God in the midst of pain and distress because you are privileged to share the lot of those who are living in the light. Colossians 1, verse 12. I don't know what trials you may be facing right now, but guess who does? God does. And He loves you and is with you by His Holy Spirit. Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness, even in the midst of trials and heartaches. God has given us the greatest gift of all, His Son, who died on the cross and rose again so that we can know Him personally and spend eternity with Him. Amen. So I'll just open it up as your heart desires, if a few of you want to just share one thing, collectively with the group here, the family of God, our local group here in Ottawa, one thing that you're thankful for. My man.
My wife.
That's a good answer. Very good answer. Yes, you have a very good wife. It's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Yes, dear.
My colleague.
Your colleague. Okay.
Calling.
Oh, you're calling. Okay, very nice. You're calling. Your Christian calling. Yes, love. Okay, very nice. It's all the support from your loving family. Excellent. That's something very good to be thankful for. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yes, bro.
Having a wife to help me.
Okay, yes. It sure does. I can concur with that. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, to help us to, you know, sustain our lives and to be healthy and strong. Absolutely. Yes, bro.
Thankful to be here today.
You are there, and we're thankful for you to be here today. Praise the Lord. You have another one. Go ahead, Bree.
Thankful to be a young person from this world that knows the truth and is able to like, share the good news with others.
Out there in the world. That's such an awesome blessing. Absolutely. Praise God. No, that deserves. That's big. Absolutely. Especially for a young person who could be, you know, doing this, that, and the other to have the knowledge of the truth and to have a family of God. That's a blessing definitely to be thankful for. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Thank God. The book of life. The book of life.
My fear is that we'll have to hide it someday.
I think you could be correct. So right now we're very thankful that we do have that book and we are able to worship in this public setting. We don't know how long we'll be able to do that. But yeah, for now we're very thankful for that. Yes, dear.
I thank God for providing us with a new location for services where our disabled and elderly
yes.
can access.
Beautiful. That's really good. And that begins next week. Is that right? Oh, the 7th. Okay, coming up soon. Very nice. Very nice. Yes, bro.
I'm thankful for Jesus Christ's resurrection.
Praise the Lord. The power of the resurrection. Christ is risen. Our King. Yes, dear. Your life. The gift of life. The breath of life. There are so many that have come and gone, of course. And, you know, we know it's destined for every man to die. So definitely we should be thankful for the gift of life. Yes.
The brethren.
The brethren. Thankful for each other. The body of Christ. Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you very much for sharing that, brothers and sisters. The next question would be, why should we give thanks? Why should we be thankful? What would you say is the benefit of being thankful? Why is it important to give thanks? Yes, sir.
It keeps us humble.
I love that. Very nice. That's a good answer. It does. Very nice. All right. Anybody else? Why is it important for us to give thanks?
It takes advantage of ourselves.
That's right. Absolutely. For sure. Which is on the lines of being humble. Humility. Absolutely. Anybody else? Why it's important for us to be humble? Or sorry, to give thanks. Why should we give thanks? Yes. Absolutely. So it's a way that we can show God our love by being thankful for Him for all that He's blessed us with. Certainly. Was that a hand up over there?
Yeah, I'm just trying to word
it. Oh, okay, sure. No worries. Yes. Oh, okay. Anybody else? Oh, go ahead.
Just being thankful shows us consideration and love.
Okay. Oh, absolutely, for sure. For whoever is blessing us and expressing our thanks to them. Yes. Oh, you got to go. Absolutely. It's like a recognition, an acknowledgement of, yeah, right, right, right. That we are dependent on another source. It's not just on our own. Very good. Yes, dear.
We're able to show other people that we are thankful because we're trying to follow the leadership of Christ and be like Him. And
absolutely.
That
that's a big one, for sure. Absolutely. Yes, dear.
Thankfulness is contagious.
Yes, absolutely. So you can have a spirit of thankfulness. Right, right, right. Absolutely. I love that.
It's also, I
Mm. We are commanded to.
Well, it's a command, absolutely. That's good. Very good. We'll definitely get into that. Yes, Brooke.
Thankful that people who aren't called now will have an opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which, of course, is represented in God's master plan, if you will, in the eighth day of the feast, the last great day. Absolutely. Yes. Okay, no worries. If it comes back to you, no problem. Maybe one more. These are all great answers.
We would even be thankful for trials, because trials help us to overcome.
I like that. Our trials help us to overcome, for sure. So they build us, build our character, build our strength. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely, for sure. Oh, Al, yes. That's right. Yes. I like that. Thankful for what everybody said. Yes. So on that note, thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for your participation. You guys are a really sharp group here in Ottawa. I like it. I should come back more often. Absolutely. Thank you very much for sharing. I really do appreciate that. It's interesting. When we're very young children, our parents would often teach us to, you know, say thank you. You know, when somebody gives you something, maybe they give you candy or they do something nice for you, to always say thank you. So it's something that we're taught at a very young age, to give thanks, to be thankful. But if we're to be honest with each other as we age, as we grow, as we mature as adults, it's one of those things where, you know, once again, if we're to be honest, sometimes we may forget to give thanks. We may not necessarily have that spirit of thankfulness inside of us, and we may forget to be thankful on occasions. My children, obviously there's three of them here right now, usually they're very good at giving thanks. It's interesting, I noticed that whenever we make them a meal, you know, their dinner in particular, because usually if we have the opportunity to have a nice meal together collectively as a family, which we usually do, you know, two times a week, sometimes three, if it's a meal that they really enjoy, like one of their favorite meals, you can really tell that their thankfulness is a lot more strong. You know, so if it's a meal that they kind of like, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mommy. If it's a meal that they really love, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mommy. You know, so that's how they express their thanks. But it's something that, once again, it's been instilled in us from a very young age to give thanks. And it's something that we certainly should carry on in our adult life. There are two areas of thankfulness that I want to focus on in today's message. So number one is indeed the command to give thanks. We are commanded, and we'll go through some scriptures in a second, to give thanks. And then I want to focus on the how to. So how to give thanks. So those are the two areas we want to focus on. Let's begin in the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, if you can turn there, please. 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. And to be honest with you, brothers and sisters, the real purpose of this message, once again, if we're to be honest, when we look at this congregation in particular, the Ottawa congregation, we would all agree and acknowledge it is an aged congregation, similar to, let's say, our congregation in CGI London, and similar to a lot of our other congregations, particularly south of the border. And as we, you know, age, as we grow, as we mature, you know, we go through oftentimes a lot more trials. We are tested, particularly when it comes to matters of health. So our brother was up here earlier reading some of the names on the prayer list. And then, of course, you know, several of you offered other names to include on the list. And you will notice, of course, once again, as you age, as you grow, as you mature, you know, in this physical life, you know, even myself, I consider myself somewhat of a young man. I turned 40 last year, so I'm 41 now. But even from a physical standpoint, I certainly don't have the energy or the strength that I had probably even just 5 years ago, certainly, you know, 10 years ago. So as we age, as we grow, you know, we start to experience more pains and more soreness, and you know, you have to get a hip replacement or get this replaced and that and surgery and all these different things. So I want you to consider that in terms of what we're speaking about today in terms of giving thanks, that regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the trials, regardless of what we're experiencing, we are indeed commanded to give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says this very clearly. In everything, so not in some things, not in certain situations, it says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God commands us, brothers and sisters, to give thanks. This is a divine expectation of God the Father for His children, that once again, in everything, we what? We give thanks. Psalm 92, verse 1. Please turn there with me. Psalm 92 and verse 1. So we're going over once again the command from God, our Heavenly Father, to be thankful children of His, to give thanks. Psalm 92, verse 1. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And if you go a little bit forward, you can turn there as well. Psalm 100. A psalm of thanks and praise. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord. As children of God, we ought to be thankful. We have a great and awesome God that blesses us in abundance, and He expects and commands us, in fact, to indeed be thankful. Now, if we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, if you can just turn with me back there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I want to zone in on this a little bit here when we talk about our command to give thanks. Because we are not commanded to give thanks necessarily for everything, but we are commanded to give thanks in everything. So, for example, when we're sick, we're not expected to necessarily thank God for the sickness. You know, God forbid, if I'm walking around, which I often do when I'm speaking, and I happen to stumble, and maybe I bump and hit my knee, dislocate my knee, or whatever happens, I'm certainly not going to be thankful for that situation. I'm definitely not going to be thankful for the pain, and I'm not going to be thankful for, you know, the results of that if, you know, I need to get some kind of surgery or whatever the case. But we are commanded, brothers and sisters, that regardless of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, to be thankful in that particular situation. So even though we are sick, even though we're going through a trial, even though we're experiencing pain, regardless of the situation, we have to find a reason to give God thanks. God has promised not to give us, as we know according to Scripture, more than we can bear. So for that, we should be thankful for. So once again, going back to a personal struggle or a personal trial, whatever situation, whatever it is we're going through, we should have the mindset or the acknowledgement that it certainly could be worse. No matter how excruciating that pain is, no matter how sad we are, no matter what it is we're experiencing, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever it may be, it certainly could indeed be much worse. When I opened it up for discussion, one of the sisters said, you know, I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for the gift of life. And that is something that we often take for granted, that, you know, we go to bed in the nighttime with the expectation that we're going to wake up in the morning. Or sometimes I'll call someone, I'll say, okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow, I'll see you tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Just the very fact that we are here today, that we are breathing this air, this gift of life, that is something indeed to be thankful for. So even if we do find ourselves in a very dire situation, perhaps health-wise, maybe we're in the hospital, maybe we lose the ability to walk, we lose the ability to do this, to do that, once again, if we have the gift of the breath of life, that in itself is something that we should be thankful for. So even though we might not necessarily be able to praise God for every single particular situation, we certainly should praise Him while we're in the situation. And the reason why is because we are not in that situation alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you, saith the Lord. So regardless of what we're experiencing, regardless of what we're going through, once again, it could certainly be much worse. And we have to find at least something, even if it's just being thankful that we're still alive, that we can say thank you, God, and acknowledge His presence and know that He is there. And whatever we're experiencing, we have to have faith that He will see us through that challenge, through that trial, through that situation. Once again, being thankful is a command. It's a command. We are commanded. We just read a bunch of scriptures. We are commanded by God to be thankful. And the opposite of that is if we are ungrateful. So if we are not thankful, regardless of our situation, if we're, you know, grumbling and, you know, we're, thinking, you know, negative thoughts and, you know, once again, the opposite of being thankful, that is certainly outside of the will of God. And that's something that will not certainly sit well with our Creator and put us in a right place with Him. We need to be able to acknowledge that without God, we are nothing. There is nothing that we do that does not depend on God. Think about that. There is nothing, not one single thing that we do that does not depend on God. Once again, giving thanks and thanking God for everything that we have and all that He allows us to do. James 1, verse 17. James 1, verse 17. Giving thanks. Why? As James 1, 17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He is the source of all things good. Everything, and I mean everything that we have, is because of Him. So in everything, brothers and sisters, we ought to give God thanks. Praise the Lord. All right, so now, let's talk about the how we ought to give thanks to God. And this is where I really want to spend the majority of the time in this message. Turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. So we laid the foundation, we established the premise that God expects us, it's a divine expectation, which is, of course, a commandment for us to be thankful, to give thanks. So how do we go about giving thanks? How do we display our thanks to God? Luke 17. So this here, this is the story of Jesus healing 10 men with leprosy. So it's a biblical account here in the gospel that we are all very, very familiar with. Just to kind of set the stage a little bit here before we begin reading. Leprosy, for those that aren't familiar, which I'm sure most of you are, it's a very devastating disease, or at least it was back in those biblical times. And once we have an even deeper understanding of just how crippling this disease was, when we read this account here, which we will in a second, it'll help us to have a deeper appreciation of the miracle that Christ performed and what took place here. But leprosy was a long-term, I guess you can say, bacterial infection. And it was the worst disease of their day, because essentially there was no cure for it. Leprosy attacks the body, and it leaves sores and missing fingers and limbs and toes and things of that nature. And eventually you could even have a loss of sensation in your nerve endings, allowing you to not even experience or feel pain. Your skin is being attacked, and sometimes you don't even know, you can't even feel it. So it can definitely reach to that point. So once again, back in those days, there was no cure for leprosy. And there were certain laws regarding leprosy. I believe they're found in Leviticus chapter 13, if you want to check that out, the law of leprosy. One of them was, if you were a leper, so if you were plagued with this disease of leprosy, you had to keep a certain distance from, you know, other people. You couldn't be within a certain distance. Essentially, if you had leprosy, you were an outcast, shunned from society. You had to leave your family home, and you had to be in a community, essentially, with other lepers. That's essentially how it was. And in fact, as I said, the first point in terms of you had to be within, or you could not be within a certain distance of someone that had leprosy. If you did, for whatever reason, find yourself within a certain distance, I can't remember the exact distance, but I'm sure it's there in Leviticus. If you did find yourself within a certain distance of somebody with leprosy, you actually had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," basically identifying yourself as someone with leper. And I believe they also wore some kind of something on their lip. There was some kind of a label that, you know, people could physically, you know, see that they indeed were plagued with this particular disease. So it was very, not even just the physical aspect of it, but even from an emotional standpoint, you can see and understand the context. Very, very humiliating. And it was, once again, the worst disease of its kind back in those days. So when we read the account here, let's go back to Luke 17, picking it up in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Yeshua, Jesus, traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he was going into a village. 10 men, who once again had this horrible, crippling disease of leprosy, they met with him. They stood at a distance, because remember, you have to stand at a distance. Those are part of the rule. So they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. So he told them to go show yourselves to the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. And what did he do? He gave thanks. He thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. So that's interesting for context, is when we understand that the other 9 men, they were all Jewish men. But interestingly enough, the one that came back to thank him was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give thanks to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's stop there for a second. So here we see an example of how to receive a blessing from God. And on the flip side, brothers and sisters, how not to receive a blessing from God. Only one returned to thank Jesus. The other 9 were so excited about the blessing that they forgot the blessor. Let me say that again. The other 9 were so excited about the blessing that they forgot about the blessor, the one who indeed made them whole. And once again, if you understand the context of this particular disease, which I highlighted a little bit, and I'm sure most of you are very familiar with leprosy, this was a huge deal. This was an amazing miracle that took place. I mean, just imagine, you have this, you know, kind of flesh-eating skin bacterial infectious disease. You're an outcast from your family, perhaps, you know, whether you're a mother with a husband and children, you have to leave your family, or you're a husband, or you're a child, whatever it is. But essentially, once again, you're an outcast and you're in this community with other people in that same condition, those same circumstances. You can't even come within a certain distance of other people. So whether you were living this with this disease, whether it's for 5 years, 10 years, however long, we don't know all of the cases as outlined here. But whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation was, these 10 men who had this horrible, debilitating disease of leprosy, they were healed. They were miraculously healed at the hands of Jesus. And we see here that only one returned to give thanks. In Acts 16, you don't need to turn there. In Acts 16, the account of Paul and Silas being cast into prison by the Romans simply for doing the work of God. The scriptures tell us that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So if you want to take notes, that's referenced in Acts 16, but we won't turn there for the sake of time. Now, once again, they certainly were not thankful for their situation. Just imagine being cast into prison, being put, you know, into, you know, shackles and captivity for something that, you know, you didn't do, for, you know, you're an innocent man or woman. So they certainly weren't thankful for their situation, being innocent men cast into prison. But in their situation, they prayed and sang praises. That is giving thanks to God. And as a result of their prayers, their songs, and their thanks, of course, we know the account there that God caused a great earthquake to take place that eventually led the process to their freedom. Praise the Lord. So you see that when thanks and praises for our great and awesome God go up, the blessings flow down. Once again, when thanks and praises for our great and our awesome God go up, the blessings flow down. Giving thanks and praise can indeed produce miracles. Another example, just for the sake of time, you can make a note. I believe it's Jonah chapter 2. When Jonah gave thanks and a miracle occurred, he was freed from the belly of the great fish. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, he bowed his face to the ground. He fell in worship and praise before God. And what did God do? God gave him victory over his enemies. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, once again, just for quick reference. When Jesus thanked his Father and his food was multiplied and he was able to feed over 5,000 people. Romans chapter 5, let's turn there. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Read here from the NIV, New International Version. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, which has been given to us. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And I believe we referenced this earlier. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to them that love God. So those that are loyal, those that are faithful, those that are walking in the ways according to his purpose. So even when we're going through a rough situation or we're surrounded by evil, we can thank God that he is more powerful than anything that we are experiencing, than anything we're going through. He can sustain us. He can redeem the situation, ultimately bringing forth some good. Please turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Giving thanks. Once again, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation, not necessarily giving thanks for our trials, but in the midst of our trials, we are commanded to always and continuously give our great and awesome God thanks. Habakkuk chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 17 here, where it says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places. To the chief singer and to my stringed instruments." So this here, this is a prayer by Habakkuk. Obviously, we're just kind of breaking into the text there. You can read the full chapter for context. But he's basically describing a situation where absolutely nothing, I mean absolutely nothing for him was going right. In fact, everything was going wrong. So he's not prospering at all. But he's in a very rough situation. He's having a very bad year, perhaps the worst year of his life. But in the midst of it all, in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his horrible situation, perhaps when he hit the lowest of lows, what does he do? What does he do? He gives thanks. He praises God and he gives thanks. A perfect example. Regardless of our situation, we must give God thanks in all things, even when we experience a great loss. You know, I consider and look back, it's been 2 years now, and I'm sure a few months, I mean, time goes by so fast, that I lost my father. You know, and he lived a long life, a great life, and many of you met him and know him, or knew him. You know, he was 91 and a half years old, you know, in the faith, a part of the body of Christ. And obviously, even though, you know, he was of that particular age, you know, his passing was a shock on the system. It, you know, obviously surprised all of us, you know, losing someone, you know, that you're so close to. But one of the things that, you know, kept us strong as a family was really focusing on all of the, you know, the memories and the fun moments. And once again, being thankful for having him in our lives all those times, and, you know, reflecting on the different things that we used to do as, you know, as a family and growing up. And I remember one of the things that we used to love on Canada Day, for example, we would go to a particular park in Toronto, in the east part of Toronto, called Scarborough, every family day, and we would play baseball. And this was back in the days. Many of you know that I'm a vegetarian. I actually celebrated 20 years as a vegetarian in September, this past September. But I recall back in those days when we would go to this place. It was called Thompson Park. So this was on every Canada Day, July the 1st. This was the Scarlett family. So myself and my four siblings and you know, my parents. And we would have a great big bucket of KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So back in my meat-eating days, and oh, boy, did I ever love it. Peter's like, yeah, dude. We were joking about KFC last night, weren't we? Absolutely, yes, yes. So bringing back some memories. Well, once again, even in the midst of a loss, and I'm sure if I was to do a poll, which I won't, everybody in here, I'm sure, has lost somebody close to you, to them, whether it was a parent or, you know, God forbid, a child, an aunt, an uncle, sister, brother, whatever the situation. In those situations, it's difficult. It's not easy. We did an outreach campaign in Kawartha Lakes 2 weeks ago by Pastor Adrian, so, of course, one of your local pastors here. And the subject was, what happens after death. So we were dealing with that whole concept of the resurrection and, you know, what happens after death. And of course, one of the things that was brought out is the fact that death, and of course, according to Scripture, is considered an enemy. And the Word of God tells us that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Because death is a separator, is it not? Death separates us from our loved ones. So when we talk about, you know, things that we experience in this life and trials and aches and pains and things of that nature, perhaps there's nothing more crippling to the heart, to the soul, than actually losing a loved one. But once again, even in that circumstance, even in that situation, we have to find something to be thankful for. And if I go back real quickly to the situation with my father, him and my mom, you know, they were married for 43 years and very, very close. I mean, the closest, almost, I would like to say, perfect, almost perfect example of what a marriage should be. They were just really, really tight. And I know for 100% fact from, you know, what I observe, that it's that heart of thanksgiving, that thankfulness that my mom has towards God, you know, for all of the moments and the experiences that she shared, you know, with my father, that has really sustained her and kept her strong, even in the midst of that major loss. Job 1:21. And said, breaking into the text, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So we all know, we've read it many, many times, those of us who have been in the faith for some time, you know, the account of Job, and all that Job endured, all that Job suffered. Of course, you know, Satan was given, you know, a certain amount of permission to, you know, do certain things to Job. And Job, you know, he lost his riches, he lost his family, he essentially lost everything. And it was not an easy situation at all, if you want to talk about, once again, you know, hitting rock bottom. But what does he say here? Once again, "I came into the world with nothing, nothing I shall return. The Lord giveth," so the Lord blessed me with family, blessed me with a wife and children, and, you know, with, you know, perhaps financial riches and things of that nature, you know, the physical blessings. "The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. I no longer have the things that I once had." But guess what? Regardless of all that, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, when we think about, you know, the account of Job, and I'm sure, you know, we can all relate to our own personal experiences, and even in light of everything I'm sharing here, this is, of course, brothers and sisters, what God expects of us as children of His. But it's not easy. It's easy for me to stand up here and talk and, you know, say, hey, you know, regardless of what you're going through, something bad happens, you know, you have to give thanks in every situation. You lose a loved one, you have to give thanks even though, you know, you're very hurt and you're feeling, you know, you're experiencing a whole bunch of different emotions. It's not easy. Giving thanks when we're going through trials, especially, you know, loss of a loved one or any other, you know, heartache, It's a difficult thing. And this is where I would say the power of the Holy Spirit, that extension from God the Father that dwells in us as brothers and sisters in the faith, the body of Christ, children of God, this is where we have to even more than ever lean on God through the power of His Spirit to sustain us. And to allow us to have that spirit of thankfulness. We need to always celebrate the goodness of God. He is in control. And He always has our best interest at heart. Romans chapter 8. We referenced this earlier. We'll go over it again. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God is always working things out. He's always at work. Sometimes when we're going through a rough situation, we don't necessarily understand why at the time. But yes, we must take him at his word. We must trust him. And we must continue to thank him, even in the midst of a rough situation. When we look at the story of David, Genesis 37 to about 42, we don't need to turn there, I'll just reference it. You know, he was sold into slavery, of course, by his brothers. He was falsely accused of being with Potiphar's wife, ultimately thrown into prison. He ended up finding, found favor in the eyes of the prison keeper, and eventually, of course, in the eyes of Pharaoh, you know, interpreting, dreams for him. So he was eventually released from prison, and he became second in command in all of Egypt. And, of course, that ultimately led to him reuniting with his brothers that originally sold him into slavery. And because Joseph was in a position of power, he was able to provide for his brothers and for his family during the time of famine on the land there at the time. So this is an example of God working out his divine purpose. That no matter what we're going through, we must remain faithful to God and continue to find something to be thankful for in the midst of our trials. Once again, all things working together for good. Now, here's a little bit of what I want to leave you with when we talk about thankfulness. Showing God that we appreciate him for who he is and for all that he has blessed us with. Because here's the thing, showing God thanks or being thankful is a lot more than just, you know, uttering the words or saying, you know, thank you, God. I mean, sure, that should be on our tongue, it should be in our lips, it should be in our heart. We should openly thank God, you know, when we pray, you know, whether it's before we go to bed, before a meal, or just in our prayer closets. We should always be thanking God. But being thankful and having that thankful spirit is a lot more than just uttering the words, thank you. Turn to me to the book of John, John 14. John 14. Because what I will submit to you, brothers and sisters, that if we truly are thankful to God, then we need to show him our thankfulness through our actions. We need to show God our thankfulness through our actions. John 14, 15, Jesus says seven simple, yet very powerful, profound words. What are they? If you love me, then what? I can't hear you. If you love me, praise the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the best way to show God our appreciation, the best way to show God how thankful we are to him for who he is and for all that he has done and for all that he is currently doing is through our obedience, through keeping of his commandments. You know, when we think about, you know, thankfulness and just being thankful in general, and I believe somebody said it when we opened up earlier in terms of the different things we're thankful for and being thankful for being a part of the way, a part of the truth. You know, when we look, and we'll often talk about it amongst ourselves and even sometimes up here, when we look at the realm of Christianity as a whole. So perhaps, you know, the other 95% of persons in the world that would identify themselves as Christians, most of them being a part of the Protestant movement, if you will, that have certain beliefs of, you know, an immortal soul or the Trinity, or, you know, they have no concept of the dietary laws and obviously the Sabbath and, you know, the holy days and this, that, and the other. How thankful should we truly be for our calling, as once again one of the sisters said, thankful for the opportunity that we have to be first fruits, future kings and priests in Christ Jesus' upcoming kingdom of God that will be established right here on this earth. We should be thankful that we are not living under this great deception like most people are in the world of Christianity. You know, probably about, I don't know how far it is away now, maybe 6 weeks away or so, you know, the biggest thing that will be happening in, you know, probably the world of Christianity, and it's become, you know, even stretched outside of Christianity, just more general, especially from a retail standpoint, is Christmas. You know, the Christmas holiday season. And once again, as I said, it's not just labeled as a Christian holiday. It's a general thing. So even people who have no concept of religion are, you know, celebrating Christmas, and, you know, they're getting together with their families. They're exchanging gifts and things of that nature. And of course, we here who are part of, you know, the body of Christ, who've been blessed with, you know, the knowledge of the truth in terms of, you know, who God is and what God expects and what his plan of salvation really is, we understand that these pagan observances, excuse me, like Christmas, you know, we could even throw Easter in there and several others, that there are no biblical record of any such observances. There is no biblical command, you know, to observe, you know, December the 25th, that Jesus was born on December the 25th. So when we think about all of the darkness in this world, and it's not just Christmas, that's just one example, because of course that's coming up fairly soon. But when we think about all of the deception that's in the world, and even I believe Brianna touched on it when she shared her comments, you know, as a young person being thankful just to be here, you know, she's young, and there's so many other things that, you know, young people could be doing. There's so many other things that all of us could be doing. But the fact is, we are here. We got a calling, we answered that calling, and hopefully we are doing our best to walk in the ways of God according to his word, not according to what the world says, but according to his laws, his commands, and his statutes, to walk in his truth. That's certainly something that we should continue to be thankful for every day. 2 John 1, verse 6, and this is love. 2 John 1, verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. That is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should walk in it. You know, as we grow older and certain trials, you know, increase, you know, especially once again, health trials, you know, aches and pains and things of that nature. And as I said, I specifically wanted to, you know, cater this message, you know, to the Ottawa brethren here, because of course, once again, as we grow older, as we age, there's certainly going to be more trials, at least from a health standpoint. I mean, we all have trials, we all have different things that we experience, but you know, those aches and pains and, you know, having to, you know, go through surgical procedures and, you know, having to see and witness, you know, loved ones pass away, which, you know, we've all seen and we've all experienced. The encouragement, once again, is regardless of what we're experiencing, regardless of what we're going through, while we might not be thankful for that particular situation, which is, you know, that kind of makes sense, we should certainly be thankful in that situation and always have at least one thing to be thankful for, even if it's just that we can say, you know what, I'm thankful to be alive. I could be 6 feet under. I have the breath, the gift of life, and I can utter those words. Thank you, God, for this gift of life. Colossians chapter 3. Let's close out here. Colossians chapter 3. Giving thanks in every situation. It's the perfect will of God. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. God be with you.